We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Glenn Casper.
Right now, it's all about everything else, which is keeping people safe and healthy and trying to flatten this curve. But, yeah, once business does resume, I've talked to some friends in some other sports. We might have a Stanley Cup in September, and then you have the next NHL season moved back. Or, you know, is it possible the NBA playoffs could happen this fall, and they start the next season in January, and now we have staggered winter sports? I think it's at least on the table. I'm not saying this is the case, and you guys would be better able to answer this than I can, but could this fundamentally change the calendar of sports? Could hockey become an October 1st start and the NBA become a January 1st start, and baseball schedule and the football schedule permanently change as a result of what happens this year? I think all those things are on the table.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer in the first ever 8-passenger Hyundai Palisade. We're going to be joined by Mike Florio with football controversies going on, obviously off the field with the way certain things are being scheduled. We're going to get right into that in just a second. Looking forward to talking to Mike at 10. I have a phenomenal baseball question that is going to delight and amaze you at 10:20. Midday Midway at 10:40, John Greenberg, the editor-in-chief of The Athletic Chicago, is going to join us at 11. He had a survey that I think shines some light on us as a Chicago sports environment that is certainly worth talking about. We are going to open the magical mystery jar and let out its wonderful contents, the Pandora's box that it is, remaining at the bottom, only hope, at 11:20. There's going to be surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live, because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? Please do. You can send it to the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text 67011, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. You also can follow us on Twitter. It's at Bernstein_MCK. That's where you can DM us with your magical mystery jar ideas for random topics. Feel free to do that. Connor is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app. Yeah. And that way you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can also interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. So here is the latest from what Adam Schefter is reporting. Well, actually, let me mention that we also have producers, I should say that, because they've been very busy at work today. Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the man in the back, the executioner, Ray Diaz, doing what he does. So thank you for doing that. And also, by the way, folks, and I know that we're getting some, that nationally there has been some pushback as to what's going on. If you're listening to Governor Pritzker here in Illinois, he's saying that even the earliest signs of social distancing, of self-isolation, of self-quarantine, whatever you want to call it, it's showing signs that it is, at least in the early stages, working. It could be worse, and New York is really bad. If you have friends or family or anybody in New York and understand what's going on there and how late they were to start distancing and to start staying home. It's going to get real bad there before it gets worse. We do not want our local area to have to deal with what they're dealing with. So please, 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 please listen to doctors and only listen to people who listen to doctors. Only listen to people who listen to doctors. Ignore those who don't, because they're endangering you and they're endangering others. So please, 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 this is a critical time. We're not going to see the results of this for a while. And seeing nothing is what we want. We want this to look like an overreaction. That will mean it's worked. I can't stress enough the importance of listening to people who are listening to doctors and scientists and staying at home. Thank you. Now, to sports, to the NFL, and a conflict that is brewing between general managers and the NFL. According to Adam Schefter, he says the NFL plans to stick with its schedule for this year's draft. It's scheduled April 23rd through the 25th. Now, there is a subcommittee of GMs around the league, and they have recommended to Roger Goodell that the draft be moved back because of coronavirus. So the GMs are worried that right now, because off-season activities are canceled and there are... And it says that this is weird. It says some teams' facilities closed. Now, I thought all facilities had closed. Apparently, some facilities are open, and I'm a little surprised that the league hasn't mandated all facilities be closed, because they should. But they're saying that because some teams' facilities are closed, there's not enough time for physicals, psychological testing, and verified information, and teams having to conduct the draft from home. So Schefter says that league sources say that it would be a competitive disadvantage to have some teams in their training facilities during the draft, while teams in California, New Jersey, and other hard-hit areas would be in lockdown, unable to be in their team's buildings. Which, I'm absolutely with them. It sounds ridiculous that there would be that kind of discrepancy and disparity. So it says the league still has time to make further and final decisions. The consensus among owners and the league office is for the draft to go on. But this GM subcommittee, some reports say it's unanimous and some saying it's 6-1. Either way, the GMs really want to push it back. And of course they do. I think it's insane that the NFL hasn't closed all facilities, and then second of all, would be trying to hold a draft when it's not a level playing field.
Well, and think about the motivations of these general managers. Hi, Dan. Think about the motivations of these general managers.
Hello.
They're
going to
make
draft picks. How's it going
down there? You know, it's really nice. The Hyundai Score studios are luxurious this morning. just really, really nice. I don't know about your situation here at Casa de Bernstein, but mine is fantastic.
Okay, just making sure, because that's just so people know, because of Wi-Fi issues where he was isolating, the Score Studios now are my wife's office upstairs, and Connor is in the kids' homework room in the basement downstairs.
Go Bears! Right,
it's yep. Fantastic is what it is. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at some of this math homework, and I have no idea how to do any of it. Not a single...
Don't look at it. It's bad for your brain. I don't
What's
either.
What's going on?
Which is it, Jason's or Zoe's?
I can't tell. It's all Greek to me. I have no idea. There's graph. I'm trying not to touch things either, but there's graph paper and equations on here. It looks like there might be a limit function going on, and I just that's all I can tell. This is absolutely insane to me.
It makes no sense to me either. If you can figure that out, more power to you. But
I can't.
Did you see the photo that's been going around of Pete Rozelle at the 1967 draft?
No, I haven't.
He's literally standing at a chalkboard and writing names down as they're phoned in. And it's like Steve Spurrier and, I don't know, the 67 draft off the top of my head. But part of me, just as a fan, loves the idea of a lack of information going into an NFL draft.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the 67, I'm seeing the photo now, the 67 draft, here's the photo that's being passed around. Isn't that where Bradshaw goes one to the Steelers?
No, that was 69, I want to say.
Yeah, okay, that's got to be a later. There's a handful of them going around. I remember watching, it was a couple of years ago, I think the four-letter network, ESPN, was doing some sort of, you know, self-celebratory thing about an anniversary of theirs, but they were talking about the draft, and part of it was, you know, it was the first time they had really televised it, and You're With Me, Leather, is there at the desk and making his name with all of his NFL connections and whatnot. It didn't used to be like it is now. I mean, heck, even a couple of years ago, we were doing the first and second round in one night, and then the rest of, what was it, Saturday, was just a day filled with the third round through the seventh. And I, quite frankly, I miss that. But if we're talking about the draft and who's fighting who for where this thing needs to go and how you need to adapt, it makes perfect sense to me that there are a handful of general managers fighting against doing it as scheduled. Their careers are attached to, I don't know, trading up for the second overall pick and maybe taking the wrong quarterback, right? I mean, their reputations are attached to which player they take and how well that guy plays.
There was a time when so much of the draft was speculative, and especially when you looked at the number of rounds. And this, look, I go back to the NBA draft being 10 rounds every year. I mean, and there were times where you had, what do they call it, like geographical drafts. Like you had certain right. opportunities to draft people who went to college near your city. There were all sorts of bizarre rules involved. But the idea that a team would be like, who's this guy? All right, take this guy. And then they would show up to training camp and like, oh, wait. This is a guy with a different name. We thought we were drafting somebody else. Or one guy shows up. He's like, yeah, I lost my leg in a farming accident. And they didn't have the information. And the randomness was what made it kind of cool. You know, well, maybe somebody else can remember. Ditka drafted. The Bears picked a kick returner. I want to say he was out of Texas A&M. And it was a guy named Darren Lewis. Different from former White Sox Darren Lewis. And they drafted him, and they didn't find out until like a week after the draft that he had like a series of drug convictions. Like they didn't know. Like now that they're all doing, everybody has the same MRIs. They're all doing psychological testing. They know everybody's family tree. They know his DNA. They've got everything. And it used to be that you didn't know, and it kind of made it fun.
The last mistake, I can't think of the kick returner that Ditka took there, but I do know that in Major League Baseball, you get these mistakes every now and again. If you know the White Sox prospect Luis Alexander Basabe, right? He was in the Chris Sale deal. He was kind of a throw-in for Sale and Mankata and Kopech. Well, the reason the Red Sox ended up with Luis Alexander Basabe is because the San Diego Padres, if memory serves, drafted his brother Luis Alejandro Basabe, and he wasn't the good player. Luis Alexander Basabe was the good one. The Padres ended up with Alejandro Basabe, and the Red Sox were sitting there at whatever round Luis Alexander Basabe went, and going, wait, the good one's still around? The Padres took the other guy? And that's how they ended up with Luis Alexander Basabe. This was like 4 or 5 years ago. This wasn't all that long ago.
Now, here's one of the quotes from the Adam Schefter story here. He just says it's a league source. Says, I think a lot of owners aren't sold on keeping it on schedule. Of course, the power owners are calling the shots. Add to the fact that April is going to be the toughest month with this virus. It's a really poor look. Yeah, my guess is that this is going to have to get pushed back, but there's part of me that really wouldn't mind it if all of a sudden some of these GMs who want to have so much control over everything and just want to know everything actually can't, and then may have to go with their gut, may have to open their own magical mystery jar of football knowledge, or rely on their coaches more than they otherwise would, right?
Yeah, you would imagine that you're going to have, you know, whether it's a new head coach moving into a brand new team, or whether it's a guy that's been there for a long time, their wish list and their desires. I think we're going to hear from Dave Wannstedt a little later on in the show here. He was on with David Haw and Zach Zaidman talking about exactly that. But I want to go back to something Schefter put into the piece too here before we get into exactly how impactful coaches may or may not be in this draft. Do you think that having the draft in April, regardless of concerns of GMs or teams or what have you, just, you know, your hypothetical draft of names and a broadcast, and nobody's going up to hug Roger Goodell, and nobody's in a green room or anything waiting for their name to get called. Do you think that that's a bad look, considering where everyone's at? I just don't know that I can get my head around that. These guys are all going to go play football anyway. When they resume, it's all going to be there. We're not, as far as I know, the NFL draft isn't taking needed resources away from hospitals or from people who need care for COVID-19. As long as you can tell me, and I think you can, that this draft doesn't impede any sort of progress toward getting us out of what we're in now, I kind of think of it the same way I thought of NFL free agency starting. It's a welcome distraction that doesn't cost societally anything, right?
No, it's almost like a fantasy draft in that regard, right? Because it's not like there's going to be a mini camp that opens up. They're not going to be, like you say, they're not going to be walking around and putting the hat on them and dapping up the commissioner. I guess it's harmless, but the question is then the optics, but the NFL doesn't really seem to care about that. I mean, this is going to be, it's with every day that goes by, it's going to get stranger. And the juxtaposition of the mundane and the horrible is going to be more jarring. If you look at the graph of what's going on in New York and how that line is, and our line as a country right now is worse than Italy. And did you see the piece that Brad Biggs had on the Tribune today with Brock Olivo?
Absolutely amazing. It's, yeah, what a story.
Amazing.
That was.
And terrifying. And listen to him. Listen to this former Bears coach who is quarantined in Italy right now, watching ambulances go by and watching as army vans full of corpses are taking coffins away to makeshift morgues. There are going to be scenes like that here because the graphs are showing what they're showing. And again, don't listen to anything that tells you otherwise. Listen to the doctors. Listen to people who listen to doctors. Tune everything else out. Everything. Listen to the scientists. Listen to the doctors. Don't screw around with anything else because your health and the health of people around are at stake. I can't emphasize that enough, that it's really important that that's the case. And, you listen to Brock Olivo and you listen to how it's going to get, the NFL is going to have to make some decisions about when it starts to be like, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this anymore, or at least
right,
for the time being.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously, our world is subject to change, right? Everything could change, will change, and who knows what level of permanence that kind of change brings around to whatever comes out, whatever our lifestyles are after all of this. I just think that for now, in a league that's never really worried about the optics of what they do, I mean, going back to, players and suspensions and drugs and domestic violence, I mean, they've always put themselves over their optics. And now when you have an event like the NFL draft that, again, in theory, and as it might be constructed now, could serve as something for people to spend some time on that costs nothing to those affected by this, to now wonder about the optics of this seems strange to me from the NFL's perspective. And I guess I should be used to the NFL operating in strange ways, but it's kind of a, I don't know, it just seems an outsized concern for something that seems on its face pretty harmless in relation to everything else going on right now.
And make no mistake, in some respects, I thank them for it, to give us something to distract us, to keep our minds on something other than what could be looming outside our door somewhere. 312-644-7667. I mention this every show. If you need to talk to somebody, it's good. Talking is good, and talking to actual live people is good. And if you feel that you want to, it's one thing the Score can do is be that fabric that keeps us as normal as we can be and as woven together as we can be for now. We will emerge from this. And did you see the little 2-minute video that Matthew McConaughey put out?
I had not seen McConaughey yet. Was that this morning? I was, with
yeah,
all of the internet issues I had this morning and traveling over to your place to do the show, I may have missed McConaughey.
Yeah, I saw it this morning, and it's really good, and I understand why University of Texas football wants him talking to the team, because you get ready to sort of stand up and bang your helmet on your locker when you hear from him. Maybe we can bring that back a little bit later in the show, because it's good and positive stuff from a guy who is trying to unite instead of divide, and it's always nice when that happens. Are we going to hear from Dave Wannstedt when we come back? Because he was awesome this morning on the Mully and Haw show.
I think that's the plan. Wani was talking with Mully and Haw. Well, Zach Zabin in for Mully, David Haw on the in the one seat. But for what it's worth, there's going to be some changes to how players get scouted and drafted and assigned to teams here in the next couple of months. And Dave Wannstedt was talking with the show this morning about what that may look like and who's going to have perhaps more influence in that process than ever before. You'll hear from Wani when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and McKnight, Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. We are talking NFL, talking NFL draft, and apparently a dispute between general managers and owners slash the league itself about whether or not to hold a draft, because some of these general managers are like, whoa, 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 wait a second, we can't evaluate players. So I'm not quite sure how this is going to get resolved. My guess is that they'll eventually have to move it back.
See, I would bet the other way. I would say they end up having it on, what is it, April 23rd, and just have some sort of, you know, fantasy-looking draft right now. But that's just me betting on how the NFL tries to do their business and tries to grab at the, in a less craven way than this is going to sound, but great, grab the attention that they think they deserve. They're out there kind of operating on an island right now with every other sport shut down, and they get to operate their offseason stuff even just a little bit. If you're, I mean, it's 51-49 right now, though. I could, as much as everything is subject to change, Dan, I could see them having to push it back for no real purposes of their own, like whether it's these GMs kind of barking about the process or owners or anything, somebody bigger might have to step in and say, no, this can't happen the way you want it to happen.
No, because there's all sorts of increased randomness here. But if you're, what surprised me is just that you have some facilities open and some that are not open. And I don't know, are teams meeting? Like, are teams, are there GMs actually talking to their scouts? It's weird to me to think that some of that could still be going on.
Well, maybe Dave Wannstedt can clear some of that up. He was on the Mully and Haw show this morning with Zach filling in for Mike Mulligan. And the conversation was a really good one. Wani, you know, first of all, the guys just kind of wanted to catch up with Wani and see where things were at with Kutch. And you'll hear in this, you know, the question starts, with Wani kind of addressing how much what we're going through right now hurts the draft and hurts top-tier players like Tua Tagovailoa. But what you'll hear Dave Wannstedt kind of get into here is how later round guys, guys like the Bears will have to hit on here without first round picks and only two in the top 160, how later round guys are really getting a rougher go of things all relative to everybody else and what lives changed. But this draft is going to be different for a lot of tiers of players. Here's Dave Wannstedt.
I do some work with some agents here, help them out. And they come down here to Naples, and they bring their kids, and their kids stay down here because of the weather, and they train at a facility, and they work out, and it's classroom, and it's get ready for the All-Star games and the draft, really, and the combine. And so what's happened, though, a lot of these kids were not at the combine, and they're late-round picks. And this was always an opportunity for them to shine when we would go to their schools and our scouts would go to their schools. And now the kid, you know, I mean, when I was at Pitt, a la, they would come to the school to work out Darrell Revis or LeSean McCoy. Well, we would have 10 players there. And we had a lot of kids that I thought were free agent guys. We had a lot of players like Deion Lewis that were down the line players. And so their workout at this time was more, had more of an impact to help them, if you follow me, than what a first-round draft pick would. So what they're doing now, and they just had a workout down here in Florida, and I kind of went up and supervised it, and they had players down here going through all the drills and stuff and then sending these tapes to the teams because the scouts can't be here. So they're trying to, you know, to get these kids out in front of you. To answer your question, a guy like Tua that's going to be a first-round draft pick, they pretty much know everything that they need to know. The only question mark on a Tua, a first-round pick, would be if he's coming off an injury, which he is he going to be ready next month or next year?
Well, now that makes a whole lot of sense because the guys who would benefit from more scrutiny, benefit from having the information out there, I guess, how much of it do you think is lobbying? How much of this, when you are who you're able to get your guys down there, or the agent, where you're able to get your guys pushed down there, it sounds like because there's human beings involved, a lot of this really smacks of lobbying to me.
Yeah, in terms of my guy be a good fit here, or, you know, you can't miss out on this guy over yonder. I mean, they're slotted contracts, though, you know? So the horse trading is going to be a little less than, like, in a baseball draft where you're trying to sign kids away from their, I don't know, commitment to Vanderbilt or Florida State or something, right?
I guess, and because you don't really, the leverage isn't there. So it's not like the situation where an agent can say, yeah, if you want this guy, do me a favor and take this guy. However, right. There, we know that there are favors done, that there are times where somebody's going to say, hey, maybe down the line, if you've got a free agent, remember that I took your guy here, remember that I gave your guy a chance, all things being equal over somebody else, and that, you know, these are business relationships, and you get that opportunity to be in front of somebody and to meet somebody, and, you know, they fall in love. Hell, look what happened. Look at how ridiculous it was that Ryan Pace just kind of decided he liked the cut of Mitchell Trubisky's jib and liked his parents and liked his support system, that he traded a bunch of draft capital and didn't even have a meeting with Deshaun Watson. I mean, come on.
No, those kind of relationships are crazy to me. But maybe the horse trading then is, you know, if I'm the agent for a handful of guys or I have a couple of players coming out of this college, I convince the head scout, like Wannstedt was talking about, to come down to just one more workout. Come see one more pro day. Just come see these guys one more time, and maybe you convince him to come down. Then they see the better workout there, or they get convinced of something that they might have been on the fence about, and that's what leads you to a draft pick there. I'm talking about later rounds. As far as the, you know, early round stuff and the having dinners with a quarterback that had played 13 games in college and not the guy who had been in two national title games, that one I can't really account for so much. That one doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
You know, I know we had fun yesterday listening to Ron Rivera, the new Washington head coach, you know, telling the Andy Reid story and the desserts and the dinner and all that. That was fun. But he also said that something just sort of an offhand comment about how much film he's watching of some of these collegiate prospects, because they don't have their own players to coach right now. They don't have their own practice film to watch, and there's only maybe somebody like Matt Nagy. I picture him, you know, moving, you know, X's and O's around trying to design magical plays. But some of these coaches, do you think maybe they'd be more involved in this draft than they have in the past because of their opportunity now to get into all this like shared NFL film, all the data that's available in their systems online where anybody can pull up anything? Maybe more NFL coaches are scouting more than they are coaching.
I would think that they are. I want to know what that skill is, though, for a head coach. Like, is it something that needs to be, is it a muscle that needs to be consistently exercised? This idea of scouting football players and projecting them into the NFL, their value, their abilities, all that kind of stuff. Or is it like riding a bike? Like, once you've done that kind of tape work in your career leading up to your head coaching job or whatever, is it just like getting back on the bike and riding things around and you never kind of lose that skill? You can always kind of identify, because there has to be a head coach or two in the NFL that is a good head coach, but a terrible, you know, evaluator of future product, right? I mean, doesn't that guy has to exist in the NFL because of how specialized everything is, does he not?
Probably. I think that's the sort of, that's the little magical area of scouting, is the projection that we can look at data and you can look at, you know, biometrics and get all that. But, you know, when we, hell, we talked to Theo Epstein about it, where some of that, some of the art remains in seeing, if you look at a guy and then you look at his mom and dad and say his body is going to look like this or that. I think football's probably a little different because the bodies are more mature. But maybe an old coach who hasn't understood quite how the game has changed, there may be a deficit there. But my guess is they're probably generally pretty good at it. I always wonder that coach tactician is different than coach scout. The coach, you know, player evaluator is different than tactician, and it's always on that continuum, right? Where you'll get one coach who says, just give me the roster, let me look it over, and I'll put guys in the right position, and I'll know exactly what plays to run and when, where other coaches, that's the Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells idea, where if I'm going to be making the meal, I got to be buying the groceries, and it's not just like open my Chopped basket and see what's in there and figure it out because I'm a magician that way. And I think maybe this will swing guys in a little different direction on that continuum because of just what they can and can't do right now.
I think it might have to. I think guys are going to have to open up the old, I almost did the toolbox of concepts reference, but not that. You don't want to open that up. That's like the Ark of the Covenant. When you open that up, people's faces
melts.
Just start melting off. Yeah. Close your eyes. Marion,
look away.
Your eyes.
Look, don't look, Marion.
Don't open that. That's a bad thing to open. Those aren't tools or concepts we need to revisit. Rivera, though, Chico was on yesterday with Mack and Parkins, and he mentioned just a little bit how the head coach scouting concept could be changed here in the next little bit. Here's Ron Rivera.
It's given me a lot more time to watch a lot more tape on these college players. So, you know, this may be one of the more thorough processes I will go through in terms of just that's all I can do. I mean, you know, they set me up at my house. I've got an entire system at the house. I've got a system here at the office that I'm using, and like I said, once we're locked out of the buildings, you know, I will at least have that at home. So it's been an interesting process in terms of trying to study and get to know those guys. You know, and one of the fortunate things that happened for me was I was the first coach hired in the new cycle, and so we started immediately. I got my staff together as quickly as possible, and so you know we were able to work and work very diligently during the first couple of months of me being hired. So, you know, as this whole thing started to hit, we were okay in terms of knowing our football team, knowing what we want to do in free agency, and having an idea of the direction we're going to head for the draft. Now, who knows what's going to happen and what's going to be decided, but, you know, at least we've got a foothold on certain aspects of our football team.
So when he says he has a system, I wonder what he means by like a video file sharing system of some kind.
Yeah, I would bet it's something like that. I think the first file in that system is don't forget to take that kid from Ohio State. Like, I think that's probably the first thing on his list. I think that's probably the reason he ends up going there. Like, Chase Young has got to be part of that system, A number one, right?
I would think so, yeah. If you know, you know. And I guess coaches are going to start to paralyze themselves through analysis here because, like you say, everybody looks great in highlights, and agents will send you all the highlights, and this is, you know, when you watch drafts, like, oh yeah, look at this guy. But the key is in, and Greg Gabriel has always talked about this, I've always enjoyed it, where when you watch whole games against certain matchups, when you know the player you're scouting, you know, multiple full games when he's going against somebody who can expose his weaknesses, and that's when you really learn. Or you watch someone adapt in a game where you see somebody say, oh, you're doing this to me right now, I'm covering you and you use a double move on me, well, watch this, I'm going to set this up because I know this is coming later. And if they have the time to really do that, it's going to make, like I say, it's going to make coaches annoying to their GMs. It's going to make them feel like somebody like Rivera, who's got a lot of power, and they got rid of Bruce Allen, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
It might just be that he is the de facto and he is the alpha dog, but you're going to have a lot of coaches that'll be like, wait a sec, I saw that guy too, I don't want to take him. Or I saw this guy and I want you to take him. And the GM's going to be like, get out of my office already.
Maybe that's what's going on in Houston. GM Bill O'Brien and head coach Bill O'Brien hate each other. And that's causing whatever is happening with the Houston Texans to happen, getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins for almost nothing and making Deshaun Watson want out and posting cryptic. Deshaun Watson is treating Instagram right now. Have you seen this, Dan? Deshaun Watson is treating Instagram like a millennial on Instant Messenger, posting angsty song lyrics and letting everybody know that it's not okay, but not answering anything about it. I don't know how far back you go with AOL Instant Messenger, but that's exactly how you worked that back in 2002.
Yeah, I do not. I will leave that to you. But it's weird that of what athletes right now, I was reading an article that when they're not playing sports, what they are is essentially just celebrity influencers, right?
Yeah, I saw that article myself. It's a brand new, strange world that we're all kind of operating in. And for the most part, though, a lot of athletes deserve a hat tip because there are plenty who are using that, you know, influencer fame, or what now exists as influencer fame, and quite frankly, their money, to help people out in times like this and make sure that resources and materials are going to the right places. And that's been quite frankly uplifting for me to see. You mentioned earlier, Dan, weaknesses exposed by players or from players leading into this NFL draft. There's pro players who may have guys already there who may have some weaknesses exposed. We've talked about Mitch Trubisky and confidence quite a bit this offseason, last year, last offseason. Dave Wannstedt was asked about Mitch Trubisky's confidence and how Nick Foles affects it one way or the other this morning. You don't want to miss that cut. We'll bring it to you when we get back. It's Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and McKnight, Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. When we went to break, Connor mentioned that there was some lively discussion regarding Mitchell Trubisky and his immediate future earlier this morning on the Mully and Haas show with Zach Zaidman sitting in.
That there was. Dave Wannstedt was on and talking with the guys. Always great to hear Koch talking a little football, especially now. But, you know, they got into the part of conversation that every Bears fan has been a part of here since Nick Foles was acquired for a fourth-round pick by Ryan Pace just a couple of days ago. And that has to do with Mitch Trubisky's confidence. And I don't like that this is as big a part of the conversation, that his confidence is as big of a part of the conversation as it has been. That said, I understand that it is part of the conversation. I would much rather lean on a guy who has been in the league, who has coached, who understands what this dynamic looks like than my own armchair psychology, you know, kind of reading. So here's Dave Wannstedt talking about what's going to happen, what he's seen happen before with quarterbacks embedded in a competition like Foles and Trubisky will be when 2020 starts.
I think it's a good addition. I think it's going to give the offense a little bit of spark, but I think it has really, and hear what I'm saying, I think it's really put Mitch Trubisky behind the eight ball. And by that, I mean, I think Mitch comes out of this thing being the starter, but I think that fans and media are going to be sitting there waiting for his first interception. And the first interception that he throws or the first sack fumble he has, they're going to be screaming for Foles, and that's going to be the end of Mitch. He is in a tough situation.
But to be fair, he was in a tough situation last season. The Bears just didn't have a backup quarterback that they could trust.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I don't think they use Mitch right. I really don't. I go back to that Dallas game, you know, when they ran the ball 30-some times and they played defense and they ran Mitch and the ball came out quick. I mean, it's a philosophy thing in my mind.
Ooh.
Interesting. Interesting.
Did he use the phrase? He said, that'll be the end of Mitch.
That's what he said. That's what he said. And I don't know. I would guess that Wani understands the conversation that's been going on around Mitch, the elevation that the coaching staff has gone through with Mitch's confidence. You know, when camp last year, Dan, you and I were down there and heard from everybody who was covering that camp about how bad the offense looked and how many excuses got made for that because, oh, well, that means that Bears defense in 2019 is going to be so good. How could he possibly complete passes against this defense? By God. You know, I mean, we did this already, and we saw a coaching staff try and, in my opinion, artificially inflate the confidence of a quarterback that really struggled reading defenses, and you don't have to look anywhere but his own head coach to tell you that. I think all things considered, though, I would rather balance the philosophy, like Wani's talking about there, that they didn't use Mitch correctly. I would rather balance the offensive philosophy with Nick Foles under center than I would Mitch Trubisky. You know, I would rather fix the running game and give Nick Foles the tools to be a more confident, responsible quarterback, even with the swings that come with Nick Foles, than I would try and prepare the way for Mitch. I'm just good on that now.
Yeah, see, I've always been interested in the psychology of confidence, and this little dance, this that we go through, this pretense that we go through, that we can understand confidence based on certain individual outcomes or based on a statistical profile. And I remember when Dave was coaching the Bears, and Dave had just traded for Rick Meyer. And I've mentioned it before that Rick Meyer was awful. And it was the open practice and the very first practice. He couldn't throw the ball to a guy. It was so bad. And it was so obviously bad. And, you know, his cadences were weird. And everybody was sort of looking at each other. And simple out patterns. He's throwing it 8 feet over the guy's head. It came out of his hand all funny. I mean, it wasn't even really close to it. It was so obvious after a couple practices how bad it was. But they were in. You know, they were pot committed at that point. And Dave always kept saying, well, we gotta build his confidence. We gotta build his confidence. We gotta make sure he's got confidence. So they had all these super short passes, and there was a preseason game against the Buffalo Bills, and Meyer throws this like 6-yard crosser over the middle to Bobby Engram. And a couple linebackers get jammed up and run into each other. Safety was biting down, and Engram runs it all the way in 76 yards for the touchdown. So, and then Wannstedt, after he kept saying, "Oh yeah, that's a 76-yard touchdown pass. That's Rick Meyer. That's a 76-yard touchdown." And everyone's like, "Dude, you know, like he knows." Meyer knows he just flipped it to him. He knows that wasn't some rainbow bucket throw. But he kept talking about, like, that's the kind of thing that'll build his confidence. And, like, when the moment you speak it into existence, the moment you start talking about the guy's confidence, he knows. He knows when you're trusting him or not trusting him. You know, back to Eddie Pinheiro, right? Like,
yeah.
He knows if it's a 49-yarder and you're not using him and you're going for it on 4th and 8 or whatever it is, or you're going for it from the 35 on 4th and 6, and, yeah, we still have all the confidence in the world in Eddie. No, you don't. He knows these guys, like Mitch will, we assume Mitch is perceptive enough to know, right? I don't know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but don't you think it's all a little bit ridiculous to talk about confidence when it's only reflected in the plays you call, the moments of trust or not?
Yeah, I think that's, well, and this is where I get to the building of confidence for Mitch Trubisky, right? This idea that you can make off or shoot something over to something like that. It doesn't work that way in today's NFL. We don't see offenses or defenses, for that matter, make those same types of passes or react to those either, not without elite athletes, not without Tyreek making that catch. You know what I'm talking about? There's a text in from the 773 saying Dan Marino made short passes to the Hall of Fame. Can Mitch do that? I don't think he can. And it's not a can Mitch do it or not. It's can offenses operate in that same way? I get that our conversation here is about how you generate confidence from the quarterback position. But my point is, going about it the way you used to doesn't work. The average air yards for Mitch last year were like dead last in the NFL. The average yards per attempt on passes were almost dead last in the NFL. And when that happens, you've got guys running 4 yards when you need six at the sticks, and that doesn't move the offense. Then you get the accuracy issues that Mitch already has compounding into a short game. It just, none of that math adds up to get you 21, 22, 24 points if you've got to balance all those things at the same time.
Wait, give me that line about Dan Marino again.
So this is the text from the 773, and it doesn't make sense to me, but people text, so we read them. Dan Marino made short passes to the Hall of Fame. Can Mitch do that?
Wait, I don't think this person watched the same Dan Marino that I did.
I think he watched the Dan Marino in Ace Ventura and not the actual Dan Marino.
Okay, because I'm sure there's data with like average yards per attempt and all that, but Dan Marino threw the ball down the field and made stars out of wide receivers by putting the ball in very tight windows and standing somewhat immobile in the pocket, waiting for his throwing lanes to open and then firing absolute darts to guys.
Yeah, so it wasn't a handful of. It wasn't a handful of screen.
No. Definitely not.
Probably got him there as well. And a weed test. But, you know, mostly the talent.
Always take the weed guy. I go back to that. That's part of my philosophy. The moment you start hearing rumors of, well, I might smoke a little weed, immediately take him, and you can probably get him at a value slot.
Is Marino the original take the weed guy for you?
He might be. I mean, there's a whole list of guys. I mean, nobody was quite as spectacular as Laremy Tunsil, but...
Oh, sure.
when you think about how ridiculous it is that is something that now that the NFL is not going to... Did they officially say they're not going to punish for it, or they're going to allow some level of... which is amazing that it's now something they're understanding is a positive and important for pain management to keep these guys off opioids, that... It used to be like, well, I don't know if we can have him on our professional football team because he may like to smoke marijuana on occasion. It's just insane.
Well, how about this? I don't know if it's Illinois that's done it. I might be mixing up my news stories with trying to keep up with all the individual governors, but there are some states that have deemed employees at dispensaries essential personnel while everybody else has to work from home. So we've gone from the NFL can't have a guy smoking marijuana and imprisoning people for this stuff to, no, they're essential personnel and you got to get them into work. Just sanitize their hands so people can get what they actually need. What a crazy world.
This is the world in which we live. Yeah, good pointer. 815 says Warren Sapp would be another one of the weed guys. And
sure.
The 847 says, well, 61,300. Been a lot of short passes.
I'll just dump offs to the running back in the flats. That's how Marino did it.
Yeah, did he mean Montana, you think?
I don't. Last time I typed in Marino or Montana, autocorrect did not come after me. So I think he meant Marino.
Okay, I'm just maybe just somebody thought, well, you know, because there is some truth to the fact that Joe Montana threw a lot of those slants and a lot of those timing routes and a lot of the swing outs to the running back and to Tom Rathman. But yeah, I think you watched a different Dan Marino. And another point from another 815 texter, the 34% tax is the reason why those weed stores are open.
Well, some of us are happy to chip in for what the state needs at these trying times.
We've got Mike Florio coming up in just a bit. A reminder, the March Fatness first round voting is going to continue. That is happening. Our guys of the I'm Fat podcast have put together the always entertaining March Fatness bracket, so make sure you're getting your votes in on that. We're going to talk to Mike Florio in a second. I've got a baseball question that I saw an MLB.com story and then started putting something together as I was reading a list of names and realized something amazing that they have in common. So we're going to play around with that at 10:20. The Midday Midway is going to be at 10:40. We're going to talk to John Greenberg of The Athletic about his little sports poll. It shone a light on sports fandom of what we think, of what we like, and why we like it. We're going to do that at 11. We will also dip in to the magical mystery jar at 11:20. A lot to come with Mike Florio straight ahead. Bernstein and McKnight on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.